Father Dennis says, if I have a big melon and it doesn't really work well. So, 2,000 years ago and beyond, there were many expectations on the long-awaited Messiah by the Jewish people. For seemingly countless years, they read and prayed through the prophets and the Psalms, just like we do, hoping that the Messiah would come in their lifetime, hearing stories of what he would be, characteristics of what the true Messiah would look like. The first big expectation was that the Messiah would liberate the Jewish people from Roman occupation. That was kind of like the big thing, finally get the Romans out of town. And throughout history, the Jewish people revolted a few times, a lot of fight, but it didn't go so well. And so their hope was, okay, Messiah is finally here. He will liberate us. So when Jesus would talk about a kingdom of peace, that kind of frustrated people, because here they thought, finally we'll have somebody. And he's talking about peace and not fighting and all these things that were different than their conception of the Messiah. And of course, there are people today, many Jewish sects today, that are still waiting for the Messiah, and that's the big difference between Jews and Christians, because Jesus didn't fit the profile. Another expectation was that the Anointed One would cleanse the temple or purify the temple, which of course we hear in today's gospel. Now the temple, that was the center of life for the Jewish people. That was everything for them. And it kind of reminds me of like how the neighborhood church, at least used to be, for some maybe still is today, where that church, that's the center of the neighborhood, the social life, the rallying point where everybody gathered. And I can remember hearing stories of my great-grandparents on the south side where St. Helen Church on 10th and Ohio, that's where everybody went. And whenever he would take walks in the neighborhood, you know, he always had his fedora on, whatever it might be, and whenever he walked by the front doors of St. Helens, he'd always stop and tip his cap, because that was the most important place in the area. So imagine how important the churches are in our neighborhoods now. It was even more so for the Jewish people in regards to the temple, because not only was that the religious center, the place they went to pray, but that was the economic center, the political center. It was the very place where God dwelt, where the holies of holies were. And when you read the prophets, they talk and warn people about what will happen in the future if the temple is perverted. They say, hey, this can't be a den of thieves. This can't be a place of business, for this is a house of God. And so this is kind of the historical context to our gospel, where Jesus comes in very upset. Why do I explain all this? Not merely for history, but for us to realize that the same needs to happen to us. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies, as St. Paul says, are temples of that Holy Spirit. And so what kind of cleansing do we need? Just as the Messiah came to cleanse the temple 2,000 years ago, so too did he come to cleanse the temple of our hearts. Time and again, Jesus gives us opportunity to turn away from the things that corrupt our hearts, that block our hearts from his love, so that we can finally rest with him and have that personal relationship with Jesus. I know that many of us aren't healthy right now, whether it's spiritually, mentally, physically, or any combination of the three. And so often our spiritual and mental health can affect our physical health. For me, there's been times in these last few months where I've thought to myself, you know, I'm just not right. Maybe some of you have had that feeling at different times where maybe you can't put your finger on it, you don't quite know what's wrong, but there's just something that's off. I think everybody's experienced that to some extent, if nothing else, because of the restrictions and different things going on. What I realized in a clearer way from this gospel is that my heart needed a little spiritual cleansing. I needed, and still do actually, to rid my temple of things like frustration, that things are different. Anger that things aren't normal. Hopelessness that there doesn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel, even though there is because Jesus is at the end of that tunnel. Collectively, I don't know of anybody who hasn't experienced at least a taste of that at some point in these last few months. And so it is that the Archdiocese, you may have seen, is promoting a week of prayer for unity and charity. It started Wednesday and will run through to Thanksgiving. Because we as Christian people need to focus on our hearts, need to be a sign of unity, not division in a world that's divided, and take advantage of the opportunity to help each other, to help each other see Jesus, so that our hearts aren't pained and filled with all sorts of corruption, but rather filled with God's love. And so as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, I think this gospel takes on an even greater importance. As we journey to the end of the church year and look ahead to Advent and that time of preparation and penance, I think this gospel becomes all the more important too. Let's allow Jesus to overturn the tables of anger, frustration, judgment, and even fear. Easier said than done, yeah, but it starts here. It starts around this altar, the family table, and it starts with this community. Together we can break down those barriers, we can overturn those tables, so that we can be cleansed of corruption